Gilbert, the leading of the spirit, and perception. Hallelujah. So we're going to round up today. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This should be part 7. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
This seems to be one of the longest we've had. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Or something longer than this. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Our Father, we thank you for a time like this.
Thank you, Lord.
Our hearts and our minds are ready to hear your word. As we look into your word, we find Christ and Him glorified from your word.
Amen.
We decree and we declare that there's no error in this atmosphere. We receive your word with clarity. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Matthew 28. Quickly. Matthew 28. That is our theme text, right? 1 verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Hallelujah. And you know, over the weeks, we've been talking about what it means, heaven and on earth, right? We use a simple illustration, and we say heaven will be in the believer, right? Earth will be in his work amongst men. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, you know, I will try as much as I can to say some things over again, so that those of us who are listening to this topic for the first time will be able to catch up, because it shows you've not been coming around for school of the world. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, I said heaven will mean the man in Christ, and the earth will mean his work in the physical. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, we said that, and during our CRC, we looked at the word, the authority of the believer. Hallelujah. So you can get that message, the authority of the believer. In our CRC, it's on the website. Now, we said the authority of Christ is in the believer. Hallelujah. Now, when Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth, so we said heaven and on earth will mean amongst men. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He then said, therefore go. Now, we said something that the word therefore go is an everyday word that means that, that shows that the authority of Christ is seen in the gospel. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He said, therefore go and make disciples. The word disciples is from the Greek word matitio, which means material, rather, which means to make students, to enroll, like you enroll somebody into a school. Hallelujah. Go make disciples of every nation. He said, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I would say that phrase, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, signifies Christ. Hallelujah. So baptize them in my name. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Now let's look at verse 20. He says, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he says, teaching them to observe. Teaching them to observe. Teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. We said the word to observe is the word to look carefully. Right? To look carefully. So teaching them to observe. You know, the way you look at that word to observe means to look carefully, as though if you blink your eyes, what you are looking at is going to disappear. So they told them they should look keenly. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Look closely. That's the word. Observe. Teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. Now we looked at that word commanded you. The word command is a Greek word entelomai. It means an instruction that has been passed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And we went back to John 14 to see that instruction. John 14 from verse 1. He said, I mean from verse 2, he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. He said, if it were not so, I wouldn't have told you, I go prepare a place for you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I say, for if I go, I will come again to receive you unto myself. Glory to God. Now, he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. What it means, there are some people who say, Jesus has gone to prepare a mansion for me, and my life on the earth will determine how the mansion will be. How funny you are. Hallelujah. When he said, in my Father's house are many mansions, the word mansion is the word money. Hallelujah. From the Greek word meno. It means a dwelling place. A permanent dwelling place. Now, imagine you say, in my father's house, there are many mansions. Will you find mansions inside the house? So that beats your theology. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You can't have a mansion inside the house. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So he said, in my father's house are many dwelling places. Now the word for house is word okia, which means what? A family, a household. Now I said, in my father's family are many mansions. So even also I would have told I go prepare a place. Now the word to prepare is the word etomizo, which means an eternal work, to make something ready, to make something available. Then I said, if I go, I will come again to receive you to myself. When I said if I go, that word if I go, in the word I said I go. So not if I go. The word is I go and prepare a place. Now that word I go is a shorthand for his death, burial, and resurrection. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now we said from John 14, you have to listen to your first part, because that is where we laid this foundation. Now, we said, what did Jesus explain from John 14, 1 to the end? Jesus was explaining what the new birth, the indwelling of the Spirit. Now, when he said, I go, we now said something. Jesus going is his coming. Hallelujah. His going is his coming to our heart. John 14, verse 20. Are you with me? John 14, 18. He says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
John 14, 18. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Verse 20 now says, in that day you will know that I am in the Father. And you in me and I in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, you will know in that day. What day is that? I said so. That's the point. Is it on the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? Or on the day of the new birth. That's the day of the new birth. It's not a specific day, but the day of the new birth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So when a man gets born again, when a man receives salvation or believes the gospel, what happens to him? The Spirit of God dwells in him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God lives in him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we said, see, Jesus now said, God, he said, telling them to observe all that I've commanded you. He said, lo, I am with you. Meaning, what he commanded them is, lo, I am with you. And we looked at that word, the word with you actually means what? In you. So, what are they going to be looking at? That he is in them. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, in their work, in their teaching, meaning in their epistles, what you will find is Christ in the believer. So, it will be reflected in their daily work. Do you understand me? So, their attitude, their conduct will be the conduct of a man who Christ dwells in them. Hallelujah. So, you now find Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, saying, don't you know that your bodies are the temple of the living God, that God dwells in you? The Spirit of God dwells in you. Did you see that? The Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, the word dwell is the word oikios, which means the same thing, meno. I mean, which means the same thing, a family, a dwelling place. The Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if you take that word and put it in John 14, verse 2, you will discover that that word mansion is talking about is the Spirit dwelling in you. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory. So, he says, Jesus instructs that we should observe that he dwells in us. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, that is the focus of the gospel. Because Jesus told them to say, to teach this. Hallelujah.
Amen.
They should teach what he has commanded them, that lo, I am with you. I am in you always. So in the message of the disciples, you will find that Christ dwells in them. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So any gospel that portrays Jesus as distant from a believer is not the gospel of Christ. Because the gospel of Christ says he lives in us. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus lives in us. So if you hear any other gospel that Jesus doesn't live in you, you are just a mere mortal, it is not the gospel of Christ. It's a gospel from the village. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, if you are not yesterday, we say that indwelling of the Spirit of God in us, the indwelling of Christ in is what is called light in John 8, verses 12. John 8, verse 12. He says, he who follows me, John 8, 12. Let's quickly rush. John 8, 12. We have a lot to cover today. John 8, verse 12. And Jesus spoke again and said to them, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now, we say he who follows him will not be he who abides in him. John 15. Abiding me and I in you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So remember, I said you read the whole book of John together. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me. The word light is the word force, which means direction. I am the direction of the world.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He said, he who follows me will not walk in darkness. Now, darkness, we say, is of the Greek word skotia, which means what? When is the word that implies blindness. When one walks aimlessly. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When one walks confusedly. Now, he said, we shall not walk out of purpose. We shall not walk in darkness. We shall not walk in blindness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But we'll have the light of life. And, you know, in John chapter 1, you will have seen that in chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word
was with God.
You read the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's the same was in the beginning with God. He said, all things were made by him. And without him is anything made that is made. He said, in him is life. And this life is the light of men. Did you see that? This life is the light of men. Now, he said, he who follows me will not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, where does that happen? In the heart. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, that gives you a Genesis chapter 1 narrative. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Do you understand that? Genesis chapter 1. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
You know, they said, when they told them, go make disciples of every nation. He's talking about Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Hallelujah. It's fulfilled in the preaching of the gospel. Genesis 1, 26 is fulfilled in the preaching of the gospel. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So he said, now he lives in us. Now he is the light of the world. He is in us. And then, listen, and then he said, you will not walk in there. What does that tell you? If believer does not lack direction. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And we said, we looked at something yesterday critically. And that's where we'll kick it off from. Now I said, he lives in us. Listen, he is the light with his direction. He's also the shepherd from within. He is the shepherd from within. We said that yesterday, right? He is the shepherd from within. John chapter 10. John 10. He's the shepherd from within. Now, it says, verse 1. Okay, verse 1. Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up the other way, the same is a thief and a robber. I said he's referring to the Pharisees here. Hallelujah. They call the Pharisees thieves and robbers. Hallelujah. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him, the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Look at verse 5. Verse 7 into 10. He says, and Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who have ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Now, when he said, all who have come before, he's not referring to the prophets. I said he's referring to what? The Pharisees. Hallelujah. And I said you need to read from chapter 8, from chapter 9, to know that he was referring to the Pharisees into chapter 10. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah, I said the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I said he's referring to the Pharisees here also. Hallelujah. He said, but I'm come that they might have life. And also I said if you use it for the devil, it's not wrong, because the devil is the father of the Pharisees. Glory to God. Say, I've come and they might have life and have it more abundantly. Verse 27. I just send you the worship. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hears my voice. Now, where is he? He is in them. Right? Where is Christ? In the believer. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, he says, my sheep hears my voice. Where would they hear his voice from? From within. Hallelujah.
Let's look at the word voice. The word voice is from the Greek word phone.
If you call it is phone, well, not phone, it's phone.
Hallelujah. That is from the Greek word phone. It implies a language or a dialect. Listen, it said, my sheep hears my dialect, they hear my language. I need you to understand this. You find the same word, phone, in John 1:23. I need to take this down quickly. John 1:23. John 3 verse 8. John 3 verse 29. John 5:25. John 5:28. John 5:37. And then where we are, John 10 verse 3, verse 4. Verse 5, verse 16, and verse 27, we will just read.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. So, I wrote here, I said, the man in Christ, which is the believer, the man in Christ, has the knows, yes, listen, the man in Christ hears the master's voice. Every believer is directed by God. You need to get this. Every believer is directed by God. For you not to hear God is for you not to be born again. That is deep, but it's deep. Every believer. He said, my sheep, yes, my voice. I don't say every believer hears him. Not to hear him is either not to be born again or not to be taught. Well, hallelujah.
Amen.
So, you see, so every believer is well directed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus didn't say some of my sheep will hear my voice and some will hear. No, he said they will hear my voice and they will follow. So it's either you are not born again or you are distracted. Or you are not paying attention. Hallelujah. And not paying attention will now be as a result of you are not working. Do you understand that? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because he has already said, he said the voice of a hearing, he will not listen to. Of a wolf, they won't listen to. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So every believer, for you to say believer does not hear the voice of God, for the person, is that a person is not born again? Or the person or the person does not just listen. Are you hearing me? We'll look at that too. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you say to yourself, I am directed.
I am directed.
I am directed.
By God.
From within.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I don't like direction.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So this is what Jesus told them in Matthew 28. To teach the disciples that they will make to observe. Let's say it to them. Let me see it again. Here's what Jesus Christ instructed them to preach. To observe this reality that he is in them, directing them from within. That he is in them, directing them from within. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, look at what I read. I said, Jesus. Okay, let me say it like this. Knowing this reality, a believer can now say, or a believer teaching this reality will make a believer know and follow the leading of God's Spirit. But to say a believer lacks the leading of God's Spirit from within is not scriptural. It's not scriptural. Do you understand it? For you to say a believer lacks the leading of God's Spirit is not scriptural. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So which one will supersede your experience or the word of God? The word of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, there are days, I could remember 2007, 2008, I preached on the day, as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. So it's now as many
Meaning some people are not led. It's not scriptural. Even if I said it was. Hallelujah. But scripture, but scripture. You see, some people are doing nonsense. They're preaching about God. They're not led. Hallelujah. You know the meaning of Romans 8:14. You won't say that.
Like I have not known,
so I will not say that. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay.
Let's look at Romans chapter 8. Before we look at that,
you see, take this. Like we said yesterday, the man in Christ does not lack the leading of God's Spirit. Right? We said that yesterday. The man in Christ does not lack the leading of God's Spirit. But the mind needs to comprehend this. The mind. Now, listen, that is why we have perception as sort of the message. Now, I said the leading of God's Spirit is God's. It's God's own. Hallelujah. In Jesus. Yeah. But you know, your understanding the leading is your own. It's purely yours. It's purely you to understand. Do you understand? So that is when the mind comes into play. Do you understand? That's when your mind comes into play. So you see, that is the reason. Listen. But the mind needs to comprehend the leading of God's Spirit. And this is the reason for Paul's prayer in Ephesians 1:17. Can we look at that prayer for Paul? I mean, of Paul to the church at Corinth. I will look at the prayer. Ephesians 1:17.
And Colossians 1:9. So we'll look at Ephesians 1:17 and Colossians 1:9. Let's look at Ephesians 1:17 quickly. Ephesians 1:17. It says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom.
Now, I said, number one, first of all, you know that the believer does not lack wisdom. Right? The believer does not lack, or the spirit of wisdom is not different from the Holy Spirit. Let me put it like that. So when he says, we've granted you the spirit of wisdom, he's not saying you now receive a new Holy Spirit. No. What he says there is, from the Greek rendering, is we've granted to you wisdom of the Spirit. You understand that?
Yeah.
Wisdom of the Spirit. Now let's read. Now, so I can now read it like that. That the God, Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you wisdom of the Spirit, right? Now the word and is not two, it's the word
Kai.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
We don't get into it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No, it says, now that word is not to bring in two words together. That word actually means that is. Do you understand me? So that is how you read scriptures. You have to look at the conjunctions and the prepositions. The way you read your scriptures now, today, must be the way scripture is read or interpreted today, must be the same way it was read and interpreted in the day it was written. You understand? To use modern English to interpret scripture is to work in error. You understand? I said technology has advanced. Language has changed. But scripture writing has not changed. You understand? So you don't use contemporary English to interpret scriptures. I gave us an example of a young man who said he caught a revelation. What was the revelation? He said, I know who Paul's father is from the scripture. People were happy to hear. Let's see who Paul's father is. Rema. Let's see the Rema. And he opened the scripture where Paul said, my old man was crucified with Christ. Hallelujah. He said, my old man. I said, you know, what is old man? Old man means your father. So Paul's father was the person that died with Christ on the cross. Maybe the guy to the left. Is that not funny? That is using modern grammar to read the Bible. When Paul was referring to my old man, you have to read the context to understand what Paul was talking about. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you understand me? So, in Bible interpretation, words find their meaning in the context of usage. You understand me? In the context of usage. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, very important. What find their meaning in the context of usage? Pastor Shebu will say something. Jesus, God said, I mean, the Bible says in John 3, he said, for God so loved the world. Right? God so loved the world. That. It's not wonderful. Now, that is how important words find their meaning in the context of usage. Right? God so loved the world. In the epistles, you were told, love not the world. You understand? So if you don't read in context, you'll be misled. You understand that? You have to read in context. Pastor Shabu will say, he's lazy. I'll probably is what? Lazy. Charismatic. Lazy Pentecostals. Who said it? Get myself. I'm not Pentecostal. Lazy Pentecostals. They'll just take scripture out of context. Out of context. Let me take on one word out of context. You see, I can do all this. There's one that. In Romans chapter 8. Aha! Romans 8. Let me just tell you how funny. How many of you have seen there's this women conference I usually hold? That was years back. I don't think they see it today. Maybe because I'm no longer used to TV. See the word. Woman dower loose. And you see people coming to the conference for the conference. Yes, I'm a woman. Let's come and hear women liberation. For the woman who was bound by the demon, by the devil, and Jesus told woman that was used. Do you understand that? It's not a place for spiritual enlightenment. Hallelujah. For the woman, God, I just quoted now. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I can do all things. Two kinds of strength. I can do all things. Go and steal now. I can do all things. Go and steal. Go and carry on. I can do all things. You have to read in context to see what the Bible was referring to. When Paul now said, I can do all. When he said, I can do all things, the word all things means all these things. That's what it means. I can do all these things. Then you read the verse before you. Then you see what he says he can do. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But sir, I use it in my business and I yield results. So therefore, the word of God works. You can apply it and we keep quiet. The experience of God determines the word. The word should determine the experience. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Dangote is not a Christian. He's trusting. He's using the scripture. So you need to be wise. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's go back to where we were. How did I even get it? How did we get it? Huh? Paul's prayer, yes. Ephesians. Now, Ephesians 1:17. We need to be a bit very fast. So I'll be fast now. You can catch up to catch up. If you're not catch up, get the message. Ephesians 1:17. He says that I will grant unto you, I will give unto you the spirit of, wisdom of the spirit of wisdom, that is, revelation in the knowledge of him. And the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, that you may know, come to knowledge. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. And what are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him up from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly place, in the heavens, far above principalities and powers and every and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but in that which is to come.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This is a prayer for knowledge. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, it's a prayer. Okay. Let's look at Colossians 1. That I will talk about it together. Colossians 1, verse 9.
Then for this reason, also since the day I heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding.
The word understanding there is the word sunesis. The word sunesis is from the word sunema, which means to bring together. The ability to bring together things. Things that you've been taught or things you've come to know, bring them together so you can walk in the light of it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. So you see, Paul's prayer for the church is for them to come to knowledge of what has happened to them in Christ. Hallelujah. That they'll be able to walk in the light of it. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
That was what prayer was based on. To feel what he wrote. That the communication of your faith will become effectual by the acknowledging. The word acknowledging, the word epignosis, full and precise knowledge. But by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So that's the reason why Paul will now pray for them, that they will come to knowledge, that they will come to this understanding, to walk in the light of what they have in Christ. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
From Ephesians 4, verse 14 to 16, he says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Verse 16. For you do not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption by whom you cry out, Abba, Father. The spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God.
The word to bear witness is the word that implies a joint testimony, a joint evidence.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
A joint evidence. That the spirit in us bears witness with our spirit that we are sons of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Bears witness with our spirit. Bears witness with our spirit. So that witness, that evidence, that testimony, that the spirit bears with our spirit is from within. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's from where? It's from within.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Woo! Glory. Now, listen. This implies that because of the Spirit of God in the believer, we can say we have the witness of the Spirit. Did you know that? Because of the Spirit of God in the believer, we can say confidently that we have the witness of the Spirit. The Spirit bears witness with that Spirit that we are children of God. Hallelujah. So, because of the Spirit in the believer, because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in the believer, we say the believer has the witness of the Spirit. We have the evidence and his testimonies. Hallelujah. We have his evidence and his testimony. Now, that witness we have from within, that we are children of God, is what we call the inward witness. That witness we have from within is what we call the inward witness of the Father. It's the inward witness of the Father. Now, what is the inward witness of the Father? You have to take this down. The inward witness of the Father will be the Spirit's promptings, urges, and warnings from within. The inward witness is the Spirit's promptings, those promptings from within. Those promptings from within. The Spirit's promptings. Urges, and warnings from within. You get from within. I heard a man of God say, "You know, the Spirit signals from within. Spirit signals. Hallelujah. That these promptings in your spirit. These promptings. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
I heard the man of God say something. If he feels the anointing of God burns in his right hand, he needs to stay. If he feels in his left hand, he needs to go. Hallelujah. Promptings, urges of the Spirit. Get those urges, those promptings of the Spirit from within. Glory to God. You just know what to do by time. Hallelujah. Let's look at, let's observe Paul in Acts of Apostles chapter 17. Let's observe Paul. Acts 17. Are we with Paul? We are not with Paul, I'm with him. Verse 16. Listen, he says, and why Paul waited for them at Athens,
was waiting for the philosophers. While Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given to order, was given over to idols. Hallelujah. What did he do next? Verse 17. Therefore, he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentiles worship, and with the Gentile worshippers, and in the marketplace daily with those who happened to be there. The spirit urges.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
How did Paul know that the nation, that place, was given to idols? He got the urges from the spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Look at chapter 18. Verses 5. It says, when Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit, and he testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ.
He testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. He was compelled. That word compelled is the origins of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Origins of the Spirit. He was compelled. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You will see that from both verses we read, that Paul was stirred by the Spirit from within to do something. Hallelujah.
Amen.
To do something and to have an understanding of something. You understood that that place was given to idols. How did you know from within? Spirit urges from within. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Acts of Apostles chapter 8. Let's see Philip quickly. Acts of Apostles chapter 8, verses 29.
And the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. Whose chariot is that? Enoch. Ethiopian Enoch. Hallelujah. They go overtake. How did Philip hear? How would he have heard the voice? Is it from the sky?
Philip, Philip. Philip, Philip. Go. Go. Go.
That is too much. Too much African magic.
Hallelujah.
That's from within. From within. Hallelujah. Too many African
magic.
You can't find it as a telemundo. Telemundo is when you are dancing unnecessarily. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Or
zero.
When you are dancing unnecessarily. You just believe things, you just have to laugh. I shiver.
Keep quiet.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
All those things are just magic.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I don't understand. When people see people watching, the other day they shot somebody in the head. Once they were passing the zero, they shot somebody in the head. Just was holding chest. Why people are watching? It's not a gap. It's zero. No, in Nigeria, people will know what it is. Because you were born and
open.
Nigeria will be. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's my in-laws that I like doing that. Yoruba. White border. Ghost. Ghost. We now open cotton. We now wear shirts. Very good.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay, let's move ahead.
Now, listen, we said something very important that puts boundaries around what, around, so that we don't, remember we said, somebody, one can easily be given to the flesh, right? We said that yesterday, right? We said one can be easily given to the flesh. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we set boundaries around what we said yesterday. That the leading of the Spirit will be what? In conformity with the word. Right? With the written word. Glory to God.
Amen.
Now I said, in understanding the leading of the Spirit, you must know that the scriptures are Spirit inspired. The scriptures are Spirit inspired. The scripture is God talking to me.
Hebrews 1 verse 1. 2 Timothy 3 verse 16. All scriptures are given by the inspiration of God and are profitable for doctrine. Hallelujah. 2 Peter 1, 19 to 21. Hebrews 1, 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoken in time past to the fathers by the prophets, and in these last days to us by his Son, whom he had appointed heir of all these things, through whom he made the whole world. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. So I said the words written up were first spoken. They were first spoken before they were written. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God, who had various times and in various ways spoken to the fathers by the prophet. So the words we have written were first spoken. So they were spoken as spirit inspired. Do you understand that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the spirit will not lead you contrary to the written words. I need to sound this word. The spirit word, or I mean the written word, is the spirit talking to you. The written word is the spirit talking to you. Hallelujah. Do you understand me? I'm hearing what God. I want to hear what God wants to say concerning preaching the gospel. Again, go and read your Bible. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes, ma'am. Pastor Amen. What is the spirit of God saying concerning the preaching of the gospel within the youth? Hallelujah. God has taught thee. When you study, you will know. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And also, in understanding the leading of the spirit, you need to know how the spirit operates. You need to know how the spirit operates. The operation of the spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12.
1 Corinthians 12. Now concerning spiritual,
I won't want to hear it. Hallelujah. Concerning spiritual. I'm just going to be a bit very fast on that, because I believe
We've had teachings on that. Hallelujah. But we'll still look at it. I said, now concerning spirituals, brethren, the word gift is in italics, so it was not there originally. Now concerning spiritual, peri. Concerning spiritual, pneumaticos. Pneumaticos.
Now concerning spiritual, brethren, pneumaticos. Pneumaticos, it means spiritual. Hallelujah.
It means things in the spirit. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Things in the spirit, things of the spirit, things by the spirit.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
From the spirit. Now, pneumaticals. Now, I said concerning spirituals. Listen to this.
Concerning spiritual, I wouldn't want you ignorant. We said the word ignorance is the word for what? Willful not knowing. Willfully, you don't know. Because why did I say willfully they did not want you? They don't know. Willful ignorance. It's because in chapter 1, he said they came behind the no gift. Hallelujah. Chapter 1, verse 7. He spoke to them and said they came behind the no gift. Glory to God. The church at Corinth came behind the no gift, but yet they were not using it wisely. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So in chapter 2, verses 15, chapter 2, verse 15, just follow me quickly. Chapter 2, verses 13. So the things we speak, the things we also speak, not in one same way the wisdom teaches, but with the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now, before you look at this critically, I say whenever the word spiritual is mentioned, look at the context, look at within that context, you find the word spirit. Hallelujah. Because the word spiritual and pneumaticals deals with what things in the spirit, by the spirit, from the spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at verse 10. He says, but God has revealed them to us through his spirit. For the spirit searched all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of the man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. Now we receive not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is from God. Now, meaning the man of God, the man in Christ is the man with the spirit. Right? Right? Now in verse 13, now it says, because He said comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now, who is the spiritual? The man in Christ, because he has the Spirit. He's in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8, verse 9 says, you are in the Spirit. Hallelujah. You are in the Spirit. Glory to God. Now look at verses 15. He says, but he who is spiritual, which is who? The man in Christ. Hallelujah. He said, judges all things, yet himself is rightly judged by no one. Glory to God. Chapter 3, verse 2. He says, let me start from verse 1. And I, brother, couldn't speak to you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as babes in Christ. Have fed you with meat and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are not still able, for you are still carnal, for where there is strife, envy, and divisions amongst you. Are you not carnal and walk like men? Now, Paul said in verses 2, he said, I couldn't speak to you as unto spiritual. I mean, I couldn't speak to you as whom you are in Christ. Hallelujah. He said, but as unto carnal, as unto babe. That is their conduct. Their conduct was as unto carnal. But it doesn't make them less spiritual than who they are. Because the Spirit of God in the believer makes the believer spiritual. Hallelujah. You get that? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now verse 11. Verses 12. When Paul now said, now concerning spiritual, do you think this church is going to be asking, what are you trying to talk about? No. Because he has already told them they were spiritual. Now, concerning the things that pertains to you, let's talk about it. That pertains to the Spirit. And we have the Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why I wouldn't want to ignore it. Right? Look at verses 4. There are diversities of gifts. The word diversities is the word diversities, which means various of the same. Different kinds of the same. Hallelujah. Different types from the same source. That is what diversities. It's different types of from the same source. Hallelujah. That's just the same way you have every subset is inside the superset. Hallelujah. So there are diversities of gifts. Gift is what charisma, which is what is freely given that is yours. Hallelujah. Now he said, now there are different, there are diversities of gift, but the same Spirit. There are differences in ministry. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the word ministry is the word that means administration. Hallelujah. There are differences in administration, which is diversity of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operation, activities, but the same God who works all in all. Verse 7 says, but the manifestation, the word manifestation, the word phanerosis, hallelujah, the manifestation, the expression, the, hallelujah, the showing forth of these things. And I said the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. Who is the each one? Every believer. Hallelujah. The
Amen.
Manifestation of these things is given to everyone to profit. Now, the word, take note of the word, to profit, for the profit of all. Hallelujah, for the profit of all. That word, profit of all, is what Paul will now write in chapter 14, and now call it edification. Do you understand? Now call it edification. Hallelujah. He now went ahead to list the gifts of the Spirit in verses 8. He said, for to one is given the word of wisdom. I told you the word to one, it means the word to all. It's not to one. Because Paul has told them that they came behind no gift. It means that all of them function in the gift. Hallelujah. So when you hear for to one, is the word that means for to all. In fact, the word there, for to one, is actually the word to all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because the gift of the Spirit have become faculties in the believer. They have become faculties in the man, in fact. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, you will get to know this again. Look at it. It doesn't say, but to one is given the Spirit of the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another, faith by the same Spirit, to another, gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another, the workings of miracle, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of Spirit, to another, different kind of tongues, to another, interpretation of tongues. Now, it doesn't say, but one and the same Spirit works all these things. Now, who works all these things? The Spirit, right? All these things, where are they? Where are they? In the Spirit, right? In the Spirit of God. Where is the Spirit of God? In the believer. Do you have half of God's Spirit or all of God's Spirit? You have all of God's Spirit. So that means all these gifts are inside where? The Spirit in the believer. So we can say all these gifts are inside the believer. That's why he said the manifestations of peace is given for the profit of all. Did you get that? The manifestation of these things is given for the profit of all. Now, all these are inside the believer. Now, they distribute it to everyone as he wills. Who is the he? Is it the believer or the Spirit? No, the believer.
Hallelujah. It's not the spirit that deceives you, it's the believer. Hallelujah. It's the believer. That is why in verse 31. Look at verse 31. Look at what Paul now says. Now we read together. One, two, go. What did he say? He said, convert earnestly the best. He's not just one person, all of them. All of them. He said, convert earnestly the best. Now, that brings about willingness. Now, he said, as who is now? As they will. Hallelujah. Did you understand that? As they will. Hallelujah. If you look at that word distributing, you'll find that word distributing in John 6, verse 5 to 11. Acts 2, verse 44 to 45. You will see that it is not the one that is giving that is that brings about the willingness, it's the one that is receiving. Do you understand, man? Or the one who has received. Do you understand? So the willingness is on you. Now, it now says in verse 31, it now says what? Covet earnestly the best gift. Covet earnestly the best gift. You know, the authority I have, or the first person I've ever I read this from, was from Kenneth Hagin. Was from bro Kenneth Hagin. Now he said something. He divided this gift into three. He said there is the offerings gift, there is the power gift, and the other is the revelation gift and the power gift. Hallelujah. Now, when he says convert earnestly the best gift, he's referring because he's dealing with your edification in the local church. Remember, you have to know who is writing to in the local church. So, whatever thing he's dealing with is within the local church. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You understand that? It's within the local church. So, when he says convert earnestly the best gift, he's referring to what? The utterance gift. Do you understand it? Now, the utterance gift among believers becomes the best gift. Listen, the utterance gift, we said this while we're discussing content with prophecies, right? I said the utterance gift among believers is the best gift. Which is what is the utterance gift? Tongues, interpretation of tongues, and what? Prophecy. We'll look at that shortly. Now, we said this is a doorway for what? Revelational gift, right? Then we now said to the unsaved, what is the best gift? The bad gift. Because it's your safe that want to see miracles so they will believe. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you understand? So, do you understand that? I'm going to look at that shortly. Look at chapter 14. Now, look at chapter 14. Quickly, chapter 14. Now, it says, pursue love and desire spiritual. As you desire spirituals, but especially, the word especially, I say the word malon. Does not mean to separate. But it's not that I mean much more. Much more than you prophesy. That's what my Lord. Much more than you may prophesy. For he who speaks in tongues does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands how big in the spirit they speak mysteries to God. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in tongues edifies himself. But he who prophesies edifies the church. Do you not see profit of all? Do you see him call power gift here? No, because it depends on what the local assembly. Do you see that? Now he now says in verse 5, somebody should read verse 5. He said, I wish you all spoke with tongues, but much more again. Did you see that? But even more, much more that you prophesy. For greater is he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks in tongues, or less interprets, that the church may receive edification. Listen to this. He's not saying prophecy is bigger than tongues. He's only saying because of edification, listen, that he who prophesies, listen, he who prophesies is equal to the man who speaks in tongues and interprets. Do you understand that? So he equates speaking in tongues and interpretation of tongues. He says, he who prophesies is greater. The word greater is not in size. The word greater means megas. It's the word that means has a wider range, wider coverage. Do you understand? That's the word megas. Are you listening to me? It's the Greek word megas. It means wider coverage. Meaning, when I speak in tongues, I edify myself. Listen to that. When I prophesy, I edify the church. So now he has a he who professor has a wider coverage than me because I edify myself. Except I interpret. He didn't say that I should pray to them, he said that I interpret. Do you understand that what the church may receive edification? That is to say, he who speaks in tongues and interprets is equal to what prophecy. Are you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
Are you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
This is something that you speak in tongues like that. Like, I only speak it that my neck can fit to you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Look at verse 23. Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place and all speaks with tongues, stop. Meaning, the whole church can come together in one place and everybody will speak in tongues. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Look at, and there comes in one who is uninformed or unbeliever. Will they not say that you are out of your mind? Right? Yes, ma'am, because you are all speaking in tongues. Nobody is prophesying. Did you get that? Let us look back to 24. But if all prophesy, and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he's convinced by all and convicted by all. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He says, and thus the secret of his heart, Revelation 8, is what? He's revealed. And so, falling down on his face, we worship God at the point that God is amongst you. Now, verse 26. How is it then, brethren? Whenever you come together, each of you, everybody, has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. When we can come together, we all have a tongue. We all have an interpretation. We all have a revelation. We all have an exaltation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We can all come together and then we'll give tongues and interpret.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you understand that? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Look at verse 14. He says, for if I pray in tongues, my spirit prays, but understanding is unfruitful. See, what is it then? What is confusion then? I will pray with the spirit and I will pray with the understanding also. And he was like, I will speak in tongues and I'll speak the interpretation. Do you understand that?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Look at verses. Remember, we've said that tongues, I mean, prophecy is equal to what? Tongues plus interpretation. We just saw that now. Right? Because when Paul said, except interpret. When I interpret my tongues, somebody else is blessed. Right? Right?
Yes.
Blessed. Somebody else. Now, what is prophecy? Somebody else is blessed. So prophecy is not just say the Lord. There will be no rain in Nigeria. That is nonsense. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you understand that? That is nonsense. Prophecy is tongues plus interpretation. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
We're going to see what the New Testament prophet is in the coming weeks to come. We'll look at what is the New Testament prophet. Who are the New Testament prophets? Let's see who Paul now calls the prophet. Look at verse 31. He says, for you can all prophesy one by one. All of us can prophesy one by one. And all may learn and all may be encouraged. The spirit of the prophet. Who does he call the prophet? The one who prophesies. Oh, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So, in the New Testament, the man who prophesies, who speaks in tongues and gives interpretation is the prophet.
Yes,
glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You see, one thing we're talking about prophecy, New Testament prophecy, what prophecy is. You see, there are people in the Bible who were prophets. And in the New Testament, they were not called prophets. And there were those who were never prophets, and they were called prophets. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Why? Because when prophecy is given, prophecy must glorify Christ. Even in the Old Testament, we'll look at, we'll join into the Old Testament as we proceed from next week. We'll join in, we took it into the Old Testament. We'll look at what Genesis 1 is. We'll look at what Genesis 2 is. We'll look at those things. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We'll join inside. We'll see. So, the prophet will now be the one who prophesies and who talks about Christ in the Old Testament. So that's why you now hear someone like David was a king, but yet he was called a prophet in the New Testament. Abraham was never a prophet, but he was called a prophet. Are you hearing me? Why? Because this one spoke about Christ. Are you hearing me? Abel was called a prophet. Are you just saying that you see? Hallelujah. Why did not man, why the prophet that came to meet David, and not David, you have slept with Bathsheba. Is it Bathsheba? You stay with somebody else's wife, and you say you're going to go and die. See, do not be judged. That was the book that came to talk. But in the New Testament, it was never recognized. I mean, did you hear of anything called the prophet Nathan in the New Testament? But that man that he came to accuse was called the prophet. Because he spoke of Christ. Hallelujah. So, New Testament prophecy must glorify Christ and edify the church. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
When somebody comes and says, talk, says the Lord. You wear that butter, and give that one to Allah. That is not prophecy. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Not when I'm in this nation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I don't worry if the wicked young say the believer and the restraining force of the world. Are you hearing?
Amen.
Are you hearing? Amen. The people that will say that the believers are the restraining force of evil in the world. How true can that get? That is the best truth you can ever meet. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? So you can't believe that Nigeria will scatter. They will say that you are here. They will say somebody will not give us. I don't waste my time. Somebody will spend 31st night listening to all those nonsense. I saw that the first night is pounding into the media. So Ghana Basagana. Yes, the other. Oh glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's move up. Just a little bit. In the next 5-10 minutes we'll be done. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
We're going to be a bit fast now. Now, very fast. Let's look at now. Look at this. God leads us in our daily lives via the gift of the Spirit. God leads us in our daily life via the gift of the Spirit. I'm about to look at something now. That's why we have to go through chapter 12 and chapter 14. Look at something here. Now, via the gift of the Spirit, remember I said, between a brother and a brother, between believers, what is the best gift? God's gift. So therefore, when that is what we call the leading of God's Spirit by inspired utterances and revelation. Inspired utterances and revelation. God leads us via inspired utterances and revelation. During the times we had for contending with prophecy, we had direction in ministry. We had direction. How did we get it? Via inspired words. Words of utterances. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. Acts 13 verse 1. Quickly, I'm going to be fast. I'm not supposed to read this, but let's go. Acts 13 verse 1. It says, Now in the church that was in Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manon, who was brought up with Herod, the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me, Barnabas and Saul for the work which I've called them." He said, "The Holy Spirit said." How did the Holy Spirit say? Now remember, they were together. That of Philip was alone, so it should have been there. What he wanted to do. Now they were together. The Holy Spirit said. How did the Holy Spirit say? Via the speaker or via a door. No! Is there inspired utterance? Somebody had the inspired utterance. Don't say the Lord. Separate to me, Paul and Barnabas, of the work which I've sent them. What is the work? The preaching of the gospel. Is Christ glorified or not? Is Christ glorified or not?
Glorified.
That is prophecy. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that will be by what? Inspired utterance. True men. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that was what we now read. You see, Paul will explain that in 1 Corinthians 14, which we just read, verse 24 to 27. Hallelujah. Amen. He says, "If that and via inspired utterances you have revelation." We saw that. He said, falling down on his knees, he will testify that God is among the people. Now he said, the secret of his heart. What secret of his heart is what hidden things. So when believers are gathered and we give inspired utterances, will there be room for us to see things? You begin to see and know. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you understand me? Do you understand me? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you stay right home. You stay right home. Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
You know? Bal askos ki fato sete bal le mandos. You know, you have these revelations. You just go. Just go. You don't have a word for it. Hallelujah. You know. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know you don't have to worry anymore concerning the camp and concerning the admissions. You know you don't have to worry about it anymore. Hallelujah. For you know, these are things and talents of preservation. You know that you prepare for the work out there. So you take this time and discipline, this time of teaching very seriously. Hold it so dear to your heart. I don't give space to the devil. Don't give space to unhealthy thoughts. Don't give space to that. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
What via the Spirit. Do you understand that?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes. Do you understand that? And we can all function like this.
Yes.
We can all function. It's not easy. The believers, see, the church that Christ came to start, the church of Christ is the church where believers edify themselves. It's not the church where believers wait for pastors to come and tell them. No. Everybody edifies themselves.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We can have more of that. Hallelujah. It's God in fact. You are being led. Now she knows how to shut those talks when they come. You know that?
Yes.
I must concentrate on what the discipline that's going on. Oh, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Don't you around like that? We have it all. Everybody can have that. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Acts of Apostles chapter 11. Something happened. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Something happened. Look at chapter 11 of Acts. Quickly. Verse 27. I'll read. He says, and in those days, prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. And when one of them named Agabus. Now, they called somebody a prophet, Agabus. He was a prophet because of what he's about to do. Because he did what? He spoke via inspired utterance. Did you read from chapter 1 to this point that they named anybody called prophet? Agabus. No. You understand me? But Agabus is a prophet based on what he's about to do. Because he gave words. You understand me? He spoke by the Spirit. Inspired utterance. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now look at, and from one of them named Agabus stood and showed by the Spirit. Now the word to show by the Spirit means he spoke by revelation. He did what? He spoke by revelation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He spoke by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the disciples, each according to their ability, determined to send with leave material to the brethren dwelling in Judea. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Did you see that? Hallelujah. Amen. So, via revelation, hidden things are revealed. Hidden things are revealed. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Are they refused to stir up here? No. Hallelujah. I don't refuse to stand up here. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Let's look at one more. Chapter 16. Oh, two more. Chapter 16. Quickly to chapter 16. From verse 6 into verse 7. Now they had gone through Pygia and to the region of Galatia, and they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia.
How were they forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia? Did they, because they were forbidden by the Spirit to preach the word in Asia, they now went home. Did they go home? No. Look at the next verse. After they had come to Marcia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So by Marcia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now, I need you to get it. They were forbidden by the Spirit. How do you think the Spirit have forbidden them? Via inspired utterance. Hallelujah. They were going there. And then there was a inspired utterance for them not to go to that place now. Did they ever get to Asia? They did. But as at that point, there was a... I need you to understand this. You can trust God for the next move you want to make. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you understand? Did they later go back to that place? Yes, they did. In regards to get there, yes, they got to leave. Hallelujah. But as at that point, via inspired utterance, they knew that was not where they were supposed to go to. They had to go to Macedonia. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
They knew. Hallelujah.
Amen.
They don't know things. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Can we direct that? Let's look at chapter 20.
I'm supposed to go to chapter 21 first, but let's look at chapter 20. Verses 22. And see, I now go in bonds, Paul is saying. See, I now go in bonds. The word bonds
does not mean it's going to change. The word bonds is the word to be compelled. Compelled in the Spirit. Meaning that is, would that be inward witness or inspired utterance? Without being one witness or inspired utterance. That is in one witness. He said, he's going compared.
That's what we're calling what we call the spirit urging. Hallelujah. He goes compared in the spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
To Jerusalem. Not knowing the thing that will happen to me there. Except that the Holy Spirit testifies. The Holy Spirit testifies, will mean the Holy Spirit attests. Do you understand me? In every city, saying that chains and tribulation awaits me. But none of these things move me. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
He said, none of these things move me. Why? Because he goes compelled in the spirit.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Look at chapter 21. Quickly, I'll come back to chapter 20. Look at chapter 21, verse 9. She says, now this man, referring to Philip, had four virgin daughters, meaning they were not married, who prophesied. And we, as we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus, that same Agabus, right? Agabus came down from Judea, and when he had come to us, he took Paul's belt and bound his hands and feet and said, thus said the Spirit, so shall these Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him to the hands of the Gentiles. Hallelujah. And when we heard this things, both me and those from that place pleaded with him, which is Paul, not to go up to Jerusalem. But Paul answered, what do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be born, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So when you would not be persuaded, will cease say the will of God, let the will of the Lord be done.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
It's so wonderful. Now, there are two things now in operation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Inspired words, right? And what? Inward witness. Was there a contradiction? Was there a contradiction? There was no contradiction. There was no contradiction in the words. Can we look at it together? Now, what Paul knew by inward witness, listen, by the spirit urgings, listen, was this what Paul knew was he was compelled, meaning he felt the urge to go. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You understand me? But in him going, it got perfect will. How many is in that word? Who matters not to use words like that? But I explain that scripture to us. Now it is let me leave the way can I help you with this? There's what they call God permissible will. Can I hear you say that? There's what they call God permissible will. Do you understand? Now, Paul knew that was what the Spirit wanted him to do at that point. Are you hearing me? Now, what was the inspired, why was the inspired utterance? Why the inspired utterance? Is it to contradict what Paul was about to do? No. No. Never was in the inspired utterance Paul not go. Did you see there? He's not there. The inspired utterance was to make Paul know what awaits him. So Paul in chapter 20 explained it. He said, But the Spirit testified that bonds and chains await me in Jerusalem. Do you understand me? It's not do not go. But this is what, yes, you are compelled to go by the Spirit, but this is what you will face. But he said, nevertheless, I do. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Did you understand that? So the inspired utterance was not to contradict what the Spirit within is saying, because the inspired utterance is coming from the Spirit within, but to edify the other. Do you understand me? Do you understand me? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you understand me?
Yes, sir.
So there cannot be contradictions. There cannot be contradictions. You can't have contradictions in the Scripture. Do you understand? You can have contradictions in the Scriptures. So, the inspired utterance was to let him know what awaits him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But the Spirit has given him a go ahead to go. So, as he's going, he's not aware. The inspired utterance came with revelation. This is what awaits you. Do you understand me? So, there was a revelation, there was an unveiling, or there was a revealing of what will happen. But nevertheless, he was confident. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
You see, the Spirit of God directs us as a church, as a local church. Directs the local church to be inspired utterances. Talk
tongues plus interpretations. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then you need to pay attention. Pay attention to the spirit urgings from within. From within. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Pay attention to this one.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, there was a time I know of a friend who was about to travel, and as he was about to travel, he had this urge, this longing, and borrow Pastor Tony's word, this longing from the spirit, not to take a particular bus. And you know, he was so strong that he left and took another bus. On their way going, they met, they saw that bus in front having an accident. You know, you could be led that way. The spirit urges. I heard of a story of a man and a wife and his wife. Let me just share this. I'm sure he said a whole long time ago. Now, the man and the wife, they were about to sleep at night. But they had this pressing in their spirit, so pray. They didn't want to pray. They just kept praying all through the night. There was this urge for them to pray. The spirit mother. He didn't know what it was. You know, if there's somebody like you, you would know what it is. Hallelujah. You follow the investigate. Hallelujah. You know you can follow investigate. You know what it's all about. Hallelujah. So they just kept praying all through the night. They prayed all through the night. In the morning, they woke up and went to their work. While they were in the office, they called them that the tanker, the GP tank, on top of the keep it and hanging in the building, fell on the building and landed right on top of their bed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You begin to pay attention. Pay attention to the noggins, the origins from the spirit of the day. Hallelujah. Now you don't neglect believers' gathering like this. Believers' gatherings like this, especially when the utterance deep. Or when you get a direction from the Spirit of God concerning something, don't take it for light. No. You need to honor who is saying it. You receive those who are walking in light. But that is how God leads his church. For that is how God leads his church. That is how God leads his church. Hallelujah. Let's be on our feet. Let's be on our feet.